very familiar with. And it is obviously about influence. And as you have noted, the songs that Wayne selected this morning, everything that he was singing was about getting closer to God, becoming more like God. That song, Nearer, Still Nearer, I want it officially known to my family and all of my loved ones. I want that song at my funeral, whenever that may be. All right? Because, and as Jyoti asked me one time, I showed him my the place in Hackleburg. We were driving through Hackleburg, and I showed him the cemetery spot where Faye and I will be buried when our time comes. We have grave spots right there, and I said, that's where Faye and I will be buried. He said, brother, you've already booked a spot? And I said, yes, but we haven't set a date for it, okay? In India, they don't have pre-arrangements that typically, and so they just secure a cemetery plot wherever they can. Families are very seldom buried together, sometimes not even in the same cemeteries. And so this was very different for him. He didn't understand that at all. Okay, Mom and Dad are very nervous. They're very nervous. They're taking the children to visit their great aunt who lives in a perfectly manicured Victorian house, complete with every breakable whatnot known to man. Great Aunt Brunhilde is always in a foul mood, and she wants everything in its place, and above all else, she wants quiet. And so Mom and Dad, as you can imagine, are very nervous. And so just before they get there, Mom and Dad give these three wiggle worms a stern warning. You three had better be on your best behavior. I see some of you out there smiling that knowing smile, saying to yourselves, we just wouldn't go. And I can understand that. Two young people are going out on their first date, and Mom yells as they're going out the door, now you two behave. Behave. When Mom used to say that to David and me, we'd go out and she'd say, you two behave, and we'd say, we're being have. We're being have. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Your influence, your zeal, what they know about you has fired these people up. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6 through 8, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy in the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. So here's the Thessalonian brethren being examples to those in Macedonia and in Corinth, in Achaia, who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Isn't that amazing? The influence that they had, the impact of their influence was felt throughout that region. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. Your influence can be felt even beyond the grave. The impact that you can have upon your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren is something you cannot imagine, you cannot foresee, and you cannot know the extent to which it has its effect. Influence is a powerful thing. I want to talk to you about an empty driveway for a minute. It's Sunday morning, and your neighbor heads out to his front porch or out to the in the driveway to get the morning paper. And they notice, once again, your car is not in the driveway. And they appear to pay no attention. And week after week, your driveway is empty on Sunday morning. And week after week, your neighbor walks out to the mailbox or to the news, get the newspaper, and he notices probably nothing consciously, just an empty driveway. But things are not always as they seem. You see, this constantly empty driveway every Sunday morning reminds your neighbor week after week, you've gone to church. You've gone to church. And this is just one example of an amazing sermon. I'm talking about your life's sermon. When preachers preach a funeral, many times a funeral will almost preach itself. When a person has lived in such a way that all that the preacher has to do is just pull together the details of some stories that many he will know, many that are told to him by friends and family, and the person's life was their funeral message. And it's simply a matter of rehearsing some of these facts and details to remind people of the kind of person this was. That's the way it is. The life that we live is the sermon that we preach. I've heard it said, and you probably have as well, that my life is the greatest sermon that I will ever preach. Somebody once said this phrase, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And when you show somebody your care for them, that's an action that speaks louder than what the words you might choose to use. That's the amazing power of influence, the amazing power of our example. We have power we can't even comprehend. If you have not yet seen the movie, God Is Not Dead, rent it. If you have Charter on demand, it is on one of those channels. I don't know which one. I have no idea how to find it. But rent that movie and watch it. It is a great supplement to this sermon this morning about the effect and the impact of influence. How one person can change the lives of so many and impact them in ways that they could never comprehend. And folks, this is all about God's providence. This is all about how God uses these seemingly insignificant details in our lives to change the life of someone else, or even the lives of many. We need to recognize the power that's there, this power of our preaching that is every day, and I'm talking about through our influence. There's a powerful reality that all of us need to be reminded of from time to time, and that is that I'm going to talk about you for a minute. You are unique in this world. There is no one else like you. No one. No one. God has made only one you, and all the way to the end of time, there will only be one you. Only one. And the impact of your life is unique to you. No one else can have the same impact you can. No one else can have the same influence you can. No one else has the same potential for good or evil that you have. God put you here for a reason. And there are people that you have a unique opportunity to influence for good, and this is why it's so imperative that we be on our best behavior. Always. At the game, at the grocery store, on the job, at school, on social media, wherever we are, we must be on our best behavior at all times because we do not know the impact of our influence. Nobody else can be you. Now, it is said that every person has a doppelganger. Is that a new word? Have I thrown a new word at you? Every person has a doppelganger. That's what they say. What's a doppelganger? It's somebody that when they walk by, they see them, they look exactly like you. I mean exactly like you. My buddy Corey Calhoun sent me a text of me down in Mobile. I have not been in Mobile. But he met me down there. And the guy looks just like me. Same roly-poly everything. He looks just like me. That's scary. But he's not me. Shush. He's not me. There's only one me. There's only one you. No matter how far you look, no matter how wide you look, no one else has the same impact or the same circle of influence that you do. This is why if you withdraw yourself, if you withdraw yourself and become a hermit, if you withdraw yourself and you're no longer involved with the church, no longer involved with your community, no longer involved with your family or your friends or even strangers that you meet on the street, if you withdraw yourself and say, I'm just not going to do it, you're still doing it. You're still doing it. But you're doing it in a negative way. You're influencing in a bad way. This is why somebody says, well, I don't need church. Well, guess what? The church needs you. And you have a place, you have an importance here. Not just here in this building, but in this community, in this world, you have an importance. There are people that you influence. And you need to realize how important that is. The empty driveway alone may not have that much influence, but when you put it together with that character of a person that lives at that house, and the way they act, the way they live their life, that empty driveway speaks volumes. You know, a sermon has a lot of lines of thought, and some say more than others. Yeah. There are bits of illustration, there are word pictures, there are scripture citations, and all of this reveal the truth. All of this proclaim the truth. And so it is with your life. There are bits and pieces and lines in your life that are just like a sermon that are revealing and proclaiming who you are and what's important to you. A person might not remember every line or notice it, the importance of every point in a sermon. It's highly doubtful that anyone will remember the sermon. I remember a fella one time said to the preacher, you know, I have been to church for the last 20 years, and I've heard, and he counted off, he cited how many sermons it was. He kept up with it. I've heard, you know, however many it was, 2,433 or something, sermons. And he says, and I can't remember a single one of them. So I'm really thinking it hadn't done me a bit of good. And I just don't see any point in this. So you tell me. The preacher said, well, okay. I have a feeling that you have been eating food for the past 20 years, all those times. And I'm sure you cannot remember every meal. In fact, I'm sure most of the time you can't remember any of the meals that you've eaten. And yet somehow those meals have nourished you. Somehow those meals have fed you and kept you going. And he said, so, you know, you apply that to sermons. We may not remember the details. We may not remember the points. And yet we would be diminished if we had missed those. And so it will be with your influence, the impact, the effect that you have on people around you. You don't know. You don't know. In fact, you can't know what people say when you're not around. You can't know how they feel about you and the impact that your life is making upon them. And so we need to consider that the kindnesses that we show, the efforts that we make to do what's right, to do good, to stand up for what's right, to oppose evil, to express love and concern and compassion for the people around us, it has such an impact. Does the empty driveway simply say to your neighbor, well, they're gone again? Or does it say to them that you really live the life of loyalty and service to God? What does the empty driveway say at your house? Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you tweet? I don't tweet. I looked at tweet one time. I don't know if you even call it. I don't know if I'm even calling it right. I looked at it once and I thought, I don't understand this. So I don't tweet. But I know a lot of people do. Hashtag tweet. Okay, I know they do. Do you have a Facebook page? How about email? This is the new social media they talk about. And lives can be built up and they can be ripped to shreds on social media. There's lots of bullying. There's lots of propaganda. There's lots of political, lots of pornography, lots of filth, and lots of beauty to be seen in social media. And it's a tool like anything else. A gun can be used by a criminal to kill innocent people. A gun can be used by a homeowner to protect his innocent family from those who would kill. The gun is a tool, and social media is a tool. I hear people say, oh, I'm not getting on any of that. That's just... No, don't take that attitude. We have a world of communication ability for us by using this, but using it in the right way. Perhaps you've seen on these formats various emails about God, about Christianity. If you love Jesus, forward this message to everyone on your friend list or to all of your contacts, right? You've seen those threatening ultimatum emails? You know, if you love God, you'll send this to 25 people right now. Oh, how insulting. I don't do that. I'm not going to let them tell me what I can and cannot do, right? I mean, that's a trick. But you've probably also seen pictures, scripture verses posted by some people, short devotionals or beautiful thoughts that they've shared on some of their social streams, social media. And then, you know, at first glance, you say, wow, this is great. These people are talking about Jesus. And then you will see the next post from this same person has some dirty joke or some filthy language. You know, we go from, oh, how I love Jesus, to, oh, how I hate so-and-so who's so sorry and mean to me and all this. Or they talk about how I'm going to get drunk Friday night. Or look how many times I can use this filthy word in a three-sentence tirade. They go from sending these beautiful messages of faith and hope and love for God to sending some of the filthiest, foul stuff that's out there. The inconsistency of this is horrifying. It's horrifying. The potential for good that's available on social media, oh my, and yet the potential for evil is also there. God chose to put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the center, in the midst of the garden. He chose to put that tree there so that man would have a choice. And you still have the same choice that Adam and Eve had, either to partake of the forbidden fruit or to obey God. You have a choice, but your influence is going to be felt. I challenge those who wear the name of Christ to act like Christ at all times. Jesus challenged us to reach out to the lost world with His Word, to show them who God is. How can we do that with a beer in our hand? How can we do that when we're talking about our conduct at this party last night? How can we expect to do that? We should all want to be like Him and be seen to be more like Him as time goes by. Remember, Jesus did not call us just to believe on His name. He called us to live by His name and to carry His name with us wherever we go. Peter gives us this wisdom. We call it the Christian graces. Now, you've heard it many times. Allow me to share it with you one more time, but from a different translation. This is from what's called the Weymouth translation. It's just a translation of the New Testament. It's got some pretty good points. It's got some weak points. But this reference here in Peter is eye-opening. Listen carefully to 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. But for this reason, adding on your part all earnestness, along with your faith, manifest also a noble character. Along with a noble character, knowledge. Along with knowledge, self-control. Along with self-control, power of endurance. Along with power of endurance, godliness. Along with godliness, brotherly affection. And along with brotherly affection, love. But if these things exist in you and continually increase, they prevent you from being ever idle or unfruitful in advancing toward a full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The image that you create on social media is also a part of the world of your influence. We all need to remember that. And then we consider the power of a bad influence. Proverbs 22, verse 24 through 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Did you hear what the wise man said? You got to be careful who you hang around with. You get an angry, violent person that's just prone to fly off in a filthy mouth rage, guess what's likely to happen to you? You're going to end up becoming more and more like that person if that's the person you hang around, if that's the person that is your best bud, as you please. 2 Peter chapter 3, 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." We can be misguided by false teachers, by those that proclaim Christianity but do not live it. We can be misled by them and follow in their steps. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, in regard to the man who had his father's wife, who had an affair with his father's wife, obviously not his mother, his stepmother. He's having an affair with his stepmother. What kind of crazy behavior is that? Well, this was in Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, your glorying is not good. The church was laughing about it. They weren't doing anything about it, but laughing. This is crazy. Oh, my land. What in the world? What's happening? This guy's out of his mind. And they're laughing about it. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? On the other hand, though, Paul encourages Timothy and Titus to be on their best behavior. He says this in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. You know this, being an example to believers. But then he says in Titus 2, 7 and 8, "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, in incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Isn't that powerful? This is the power of our influence. We want to do good and influence people for what is right. I've heard it said, and you probably have heard the same, that the greatest sermon you will ever preach is the one you live. Is the one you live. And in this life, you display your character, your priorities, and your love. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." When the world sees how much we love each other, what an influence for good that really is. What a beautiful influence for good. As a society, folks, we seem to be losing our grasp on the importance of having a good character. We seem to be slipping on that. People that are, we'll call them the famous people, celebrities, leaders, sports figures and such. So many of them just completely shed their character. They throw off all restraint and they show they have no honor and no respect for anyone or anything. Because, hey, I'm rich and I'm famous, so, bleh. Nothing matters. I can do what I want to do. And they have no honor and have no integrity and they have not got a good character. And we see this attitude more and more in our own communities and even in our own families. And I'm wondering, do you think we might see some of this even in the church as people just cast it aside and say, "No, I'll do what I want to do. I'll live the way I want to live." Brethren, now more than ever, we need each other. We need to love each other more than ever to show the world that there is a better way, that this is the only way that their needs can be met. This is the only way that leads to eternal life. And people need to follow this. Let me remind you one more time, you are unique in this world. There's no one like you. No one like you. There's only one you. The world may tell us that, you're just one of more than 7 billion people on this planet. And you have to realize that God made you for a purpose. God made you for a reason, and your influence is truly yours. No one else can influence someone like you can. And since you're the only one that can, no one else can exert the same influence as you. Whether it's family, friends, co-workers, doesn't matter. You relate with your own influence. And that means what you do and how you do it does have an impact. Character does matter. On the news recently, well, actually, it was a couple of years ago, there was a story of a New York City police officer on a cold November night, and he made news for doing something remarkable. Remarkable. Now, it wasn't saving someone from a wrecked vehicle or taking down a crazy gunman or even arresting a dangerous fugitive. It wasn't that. Those who do these things, these amazing feats of courage, these brave people do, they're certainly deserving of our respect and our honor. But he didn't do any of that. Officer Larry DePrimo took it upon himself to do something that has exerted an incredible influence around the world. It has impacted the world. A tourist from Arizona was in Times Square on this cold November night and took a picture unbeknownst to the officer. The officer had no idea he was being photographed in what he was doing. And this picture was then sent to the New York Police Department with a letter of praise for this unknown officer. And the New York City Police Department posted the picture and the story of what happened on Facebook. And it went viral. Now, I had to look up what it meant to go viral. I thought, But to go viral means, when the term was first coined, it meant a million hits in a month. But now, it means 5 million hits in a week. For something to go viral today, 5 million views on the internet in less than 7 days. That's what, and this went viral. So let me tell you what happened. The officer was walking through Times Square on this cold November night. He later said, "It was so cold I had on 2 pairs of socks and I was still freezing. I was still freezing." And he saw a homeless man sitting on the sidewalk, barefooted. And someone passing by saw the man sitting there and commented with a laugh to his companion, "Look at that guy, he's barefooted." And he kept on walking, and it made the officer mad. So he walked over to the homeless man and he knelt down beside him and he spoke to him for a minute. He got up and left and went a block and a half down to a shoe store, went in, bought the most expensive pair of thermal boots they had, came back, gave them to the man along with a pair of socks, and helped him put them on. Helped him put them on. And this tourist took the picture of what Officer DePrimo was doing. Just a small act of kindness impacted so many people. It went viral. The story went viral in less than a week. Officer DePrimo says he now keeps the receipt from the boots in his chest pocket to remind him that so many people are dealing with so much more than he has to, and so he's reminded to be grateful for his life. This is an amazing story, isn't it? Now, here's the thing. We need to realize that with one good deed from this officer impacted millions of people around this world. They were drawn to his character, to his honor, to his integrity, to his example. And he has been praised for it. Character matters, brethren. Character matters. Your character matters. And you can change this world for the better. But it first starts with you. Don't give in to the lie that good character doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. It matters. And that needs to become our motto here at Tanner. For the rest of this year, you're going to hear this a lot. It matters. Whatever it is you're going to do, it matters. Is this something good or is this something bad? It matters. Will people care? Will they even notice? It matters. It matters. And we need to pay attention to that. You can change the world for someone with a kind deed. It matters. And who knows how far an act of kindness might travel. It's the power of influence, brethren. And it matters. It matters. So use your influence for God. Use your influence for good. The little things like an empty driveway or what might appear to be an innocent post on Facebook, it matters. So take it seriously. We can have fun. We can enjoy the life that God blesses us with on this earth. But recognize that it matters. Everything I do, it matters. So let's make sure that we recognize that God is behind it all. That God is in charge of it all. And then one day we will account to God for all that we have done in this life. If you're not a Christian, folks, let me tell you, it matters. You need to obey the gospel the way God has designed it. You know why? Because it matters. You can't be saved just any way you want to be. You've got to be saved the way God dictates. You know why? Because it matters. Obey the gospel. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. Be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. So that God can wash your sins away by the blood of Jesus. It matters. And He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful to Him, we want to encourage you. Make your life right with God today while you can. Come back to God today before it's too late. It matters. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.